Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone to the show. It's great to have you with us on this interesting Wednesday. Raining here in the State College area. Some thunderstorms. The State College Spikes, by the way, will play for the New York Penn League Championship tonight, weather permitting. They won last night 2-1 in 11 innings.
So it was the wee hours of the morning that you returned.
Yeah, I got back 3:30.
And did you find, listen, I know everyone was concerned last night, wondering if you found a place for coffee.
No, I stopped at, time did I stop?
Did you stop at a rest area and had to go from the machine?
No, I stopped at like 1 or 1:15 in the Pocono somewhere. That's about it. So, yep, it's no big deal. So I got that done. And they won on a night where they had three hits.
Wow.
Yep.
Three hits. Well, that's making the most of your opportunities.
Well, one was a Cats home run in the fifth. That was big. The fourth round pick of the Cardinals out of LSU. As I, you know, like, he's something like 7-for-16 in the postseason. And I said to somebody last night, I said, you have to understand, the dude just played in the College World Series. And I said, this is not exactly an explosive situation for him.
Nothing new here.
No, nothing's going to fit. I mean, this is something where he just, you know, he knows how to dial it up. He's been in big dial-up situations before. So, I mean, he's done that, and he got great pitching, and they have this saying with Vatos Gatos or something like that, which is like Spanish for let's go cats. And they were the first and third and I don't know, whatever. In the eighth thing with a chance to win it, they grounded out the first. And I said, Vatos Gatos, buenas noches. All right, so.
So glad you're multilingual.
Hey, just wanted to say goodnight. Vatos gatos, buenas noches. All right. You're all right. I'm a little bit concerned about your mental state. It's Wednesday. You
I'm great. It's Wednesday.
Okay. I'm just, you know, you
get great.
High school football coming up. You haven't said touchdown anything since November. And
No. I did. I got to say it three times, and once it counted Friday.
Well, what do? Just kind of like play it backwards when you have to bring it back or what?
That's a thought. I hadn't really thought of that idea.
Yeah. Be good for you. Let's see. I know we're going to have Mark Daniels on the show before the week is out. He's the play-by-play voice of UCF football. Tomorrow night on the talk show from Damon's, we're going to have a representative from Ireland on. Dan Rooney, by the way, is going to be here on Saturday.
I'm a big Dan Rooney fan.
The former ambassador to Ireland. He's going to be here on Friday. Why do I sense he's going to be at the Molar tailgate? All right, so.
He should be on your halftime show now.
I don't know. They wanted me to tape halftime with somebody from World Campus, but the only day they were available was yesterday, and I said, I'm in Albany. So I said, sorry, I couldn't get that done. And they said, well, it's only days here. I said, well, I said, you should have told him to be available more.
You know, maybe the only day he's here, but I'm not.
I mean, sorry, I can't help you. I mean, you know, I can't help you on that one. So, Today was part two, by the way, of the Oklahoma State series. And
by the way, this is actually brilliant by SI, by the way.
What, to draw it out like this? Well, considering nobody reads stuff anymore, yeah.
I mean, this is brilliant because, you know, like you said, why else would you go there?
I mean, they do certain things really well. I mean, Peter King's Monday morning quarterback deal is really good. But today deals with academic fraud, I believe. Then the part you're interested in, the sex parts on Friday, right before the weekend, you should be good.
Yeah, that sounded bad. No, I'm interested in it because I think it's really twisted. And it's probably the most disturbing part of this whole situation. But what difference will it make? The NCAA will investigate, and it'll be a, you know, one scholarship suspension, and, you know, nothing else will happen.
Okay, that sounds bitter. All right.
Hindsight tells me it's not going to be a big deal for the NCAA unless they've finally decided that, oh, wait a minute, maybe we do have to punish things that are actually wrong.
Well, yesterday was the money. Today's the academics. And when you look at the academics, they say a dozen Cowboys who played between 2000 and 2011 say they participated in some form of academic misconduct. And of the 16 were named by teammates as having schoolwork done for them. The Jan Gengelhoff Minnesota thing in basketball. Players were also clustered into online classes. The goal was not to educate, but to get the best players the passing grades that they needed to keep playing, said Fath Carter, who played for Oklahoma State from 2000 to 2003. Tomorrow's on drugs. The overview on that is, as the Cowboys became one of the nation's elite teams, players were not only using drugs, but also dealing them. It was common for some players to smoke marijuana before games, says Donnell Williams, a linebacker on the 2006 team. He said drugs were everywhere. School officials largely ignored use and abuse by elite players, but cast aside those players deemed expendable. That's tomorrow's part. Friday's part, I noticed it just got your attention. Under Les Miles, membership in the Orange Pride, the football program's hostess group, tripled as the organization became a key recruiting tool. Players say that a small number of women in the group had sex with recruits. Terrell Woods, a wide receiver from 2006 to 2008, says the idea was to get recruits to think that if they came to Oklahoma State, it was going to be like that all the time, with all the girls wanting to have sex with you. Part five will be the fallout. One of the selling points of college football is that it changes lives, that young men have their character and fortunes enhanced by taking part in the sport, even if they remain on campus for only a short period of time. But in the past decade, player after player has been driven out of Stillwater, returning to worlds that they had hoped to escape from. Some have been incarcerated, others live on the streets, many have battled drug abuse, and a few suicide. That is the story. That's an overview of each part. You only paid attention to one.
I, like I said, if any of this is true, and I mean literally any of it, it's not only disturbing, but it really puts pressure on the NCAA severely now.
Well, fortunately, there's only one school that has a culture problem, so they're good. All right, our number 800-795-9565. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, SEL, $11,995. 2006 Pontiac Solstice two-door convertible, super low miles, only $15,521. A one-owner 2011 Hyundai Sonata 2.4-liter hybrid for just $17,387. 2012 Ford Econoline cargo van, fully serviced, $18,996. 2010 Ford Explorer Sport Track 4-door, $24,352. And a 2011 Lincoln MKX with a 6-year, 100,000-mile warranty, just $34,882. Call 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com. At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Okay, welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Several disturbing things about the Oklahoma State situation. If, number one, you don't know what's true and what's not true, so let's start there. Number two is that they keep talking about statute of limitations and things like that, you know. And then I look around at the Penn State kids and I say to myself, statute of limitations? What in the heck are they talking about? And, you know, and the what's really going to bug me, and I'm going to talk about this straight out right now. It really bothered me in reading about culture here. Last Friday, it was brought up in a couple ways about, you know, still fighting, you know, culture and so forth. What in the, okay? Whomever's writing these things needs to sit down in a room with me for about 10 minutes. Because I want to know what the heck they're talking about. You've got kids going to Thon and doing Lift for Life and, you know, fans are allowed to go to stadiums and let loose and enjoy themselves. Okay? This is not expected to be, we can't go in there. Something bad happened here a long time ago, so everybody just be quiet. I'm sorry. I've had enough of this stuff. You know, I've had enough of the generalized, you can throw out a keyword here or there. Back it up. Tell me what you're talking about. I want to see what's happening here, okay? You just can't throw out generalized stuff because now they're getting people mad across here now. See, this is one of the problems that they have with this is that people are mad out there. And, you know, they'll read a report like that and somebody's, well, you know, something about the culture. They always look at each other like, what in the hell are you talking about, okay? Say it. Tell me, okay? Don't just say they still need to work on it. Okay, tell everybody what they're doing wrong. Tell everybody what they need to do. Okay, let's show some guts out there. You know, anybody could throw around any general term they want about anything. It takes somebody with some solution in mind to step up and say, okay, this is what's happening. I think you need to correct it in this way. Am I wrong? I mean, the bottom line comes down to this, is that we're going to do the football game exactly the way we want to do the football game. I don't need their advice, okay? Talking about those on the outside, okay? And number two is, I've talked about it the same way the entire time. People want truth and they want fairness. I'd like to hear some truth first before I dole out whatever fairness there is.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
How's everybody doing today? If everybody's doing well, getting ready for Penn State UCF Saturday, Beaver Stadium. I have another game coming up tonight. get these thunderstorms out of here in the next hour and watch them play ball, and maybe they go into championship here tonight. I mean, you look at the culture of college football across the country. Okay? There's an incredible hypocrisy across the land that is being perpetrated here. Why is it the culture at Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee is celebrated? Auburn is celebrated. Well, see, that's college football, right? But at Penn State, it's not allowed to be? All the charitable work done, everything the players have done, community work, giving back. You know, I mean, Thom was only a $10 million thing. I guess it should have been 20. I mean, am I wrong? I mean, then we look at Oklahoma State. Instead of talking about the culture problem there, they talk about the statute of limitations. What? Am I missing something here? Am I missing something? Kevin's putting his fantasy football.
No, I mean, if there's been wrongdoing, it doesn't really matter how long it's been.
No, that's what I said.
Don't get that.
Look, if Les Miles is guilty of these charges, okay, let's just say, okay, if, because I certainly don't want to say he is or he isn't. That's not my place to say. I'm not an investigator, and I don't have evidence, okay? All right, so I'll preface it with that. But I don't give a damn how long it took. Okay? He's done. Okay? If Coach X is guilty of grievous rules violations 10 years ago, Coach X is done as far as I'm concerned. It has to be an individualized penalty. I've talked about this forever. Okay? What good does it do if you put Oklahoma State on probation now, right, and the right tackle who's awesome and incredible, and you know, why should that kid be penalized? He didn't do anything wrong. It's not the right way to do things. All right? I mean, a friend of mine here in State College owns a business. And it turned out maybe 5, 6, maybe 7 years ago, one of his workers was arrested and eventually convicted of something. Okay? Did people come in and shut the business down? Or they say, you know what, that was Bill's fault. Right? You penalize the individuals, not the organization. Unless the organization is absolutely corrupt. If the organization is corrupt top to bottom, then the organization needs to be penalized. But when it's individuals doing these things, you penalize individuals. You look at somebody, and I don't want to hear, well, gee, you take away their livelihood. There are other jobs out there. Go for it. I mean, like in other professions. But you can't coach here anymore because what you did was wrong.
You're talking about the college football culture in general. In general terms, George Dorman, the Sports Illustrated writer, was on ESPN. I have to play this for you because it really disturbs me how he words this comment. I think it's a little bit about what you're talking about with the culture question.
Right. Brazen nature of some of this, right? So we, you know, like you said, we assume guys get hooked up with little money here or there, that their tutor does their work for them, you know. But with, you know, the story we wrote today, money, you know, these were guys were getting handed envelopes, you know, full of cash after games.
Okay, the first part of that is the part I want to focus on here. I'm going to play that one more time. Listen, they're obviously talking about the fact that, yeah, we know this kind of goes on in college football, but listen to this.
The brazen nature of some of this, right? So we, you know, like you said, we assume guys get hooked up with little money here or there, that their tutor does their work for them.
I didn't assume that.
I never have assumed that. That's ridiculous. I've never assumed that. See, one of the things that you now have in place that has changed a little bit of that, let's take college basketball. You're in for a year, and if you feel you're ready for the NBA, you declare and go. All right? In college, 3 years. It's like Jadeveon Clowney. In all likelihood, he'll go after this year. It's his third year. He didn't redshirt a year. Now he's talking. He said, we need to evaluate my role. You're a defensive end. Go get the quarterback. The meeting's over. So we need to examine my role. I'm like, examine your role. You're a defensive end. Make plays. We're done. The meeting's over. Go back and practice. Okay? Go back and practice, okay? And if you don't practice well, you don't play well, I'll bench you because you're not going to be here next year anyway. So I don't assume that happens. Now, are there some places where I do know that envelopes have been handed out over the years, left in the locker, a little manila envelope with some cash in it, because these are all cash transactions, can't be traced. Has that ever happened? Of course it's happened. Has somebody written papers? Yeah, Jan Gengelhoff did that at Minnesota for the basketball team of the 90s, in the late 90s. So, I mean, there have been times where they've been able to prove it. The problem I'm seeing is that there's the big picture of intercollegiate athletics is lazily being looked at by the people who cover it. Now, SI did an in-depth thing on Oklahoma State. That's not lazy. That's good, hard work. All right? But we all kind of assume, okay, if you're a reporter worth your salt and you're thinking this is happening, go find out. That's your job. Go find out. Don't just make a general statement on a talk show. Get your hands dirty. Just like in this issue with paying athletes, they throw it out there. The national media, like, whoa. I mean, really, it's semi-pro. I was listening to Keith Olbermann the other night bloviate about, he says it's semi-pro football anyway, blah, blah, blah. Keith, get your hands dirty. Understand how the system works. Understand how grant money works. Understand how clothing allowances work and things like that. Understand the cost of a tuition. Understand leaving debt free instead of getting on there, giving that serious look, right, that ends up getting you fired from every job you've ever been at anyway, all right, and actually getting your hands dirty and finding out what's going on instead of just saying stuff. That's what he does. He just says whatever. Okay? Give me some proof. Show it to me. Okay? Explain to me, okay, why tens of thousands of dollars worth of education isn't payment. Explain to me how keeping grant money isn't payment. Explain to me how clothing allowances aren't payment. Explain to me how free meals at training table are not payment. Explain to me how free books aren't payment. Explain to me how free housing isn't payment. Can anybody? Sounds to me like there's a lot of money there. You know, you have to be willing to get in there and actually take a few minutes to find out how the system works before you tell everybody what your opinion of the system happens to be, instead of being lazy and just bloviating. How about that? An interesting concept. Let's do some work. Dirty little secret. It's just semi-pro football anyway. No, not really, Keith. Like, Mark Markovich. I saw Mark Markovich the other day. Incredibly successful. Eddie O'Neill. Incredibly successful. John Scorpion. Incredibly successful. John Cappelletti I saw. Incredibly successful. Okay. Some of them played pro football. Markovich played for 4 years. O'Neill played for, I think, at least 10. John was in for 10. Tom Schumann didn't play any. Highly successful. Okay. But you know what they all did, Kev? They got their degrees, and now they're using them.
I don't know. Here's what's hard for me. All right, when you look at the
They get money.
No. I'm talking about this whole story now. This whole thing that we're discussing now. What's hard for me to believe is that all this goes on, and no one finds out about it till now.
Because you have to have people willing to talk. You have to remember that. That is the number one prerequisite to getting something like this to happen. Whomever the writer is, and I don't know who the writer is, and that's my fault because I haven't looked at it closely enough.
I think it's Dorman. I think that's who the
writer is. Okay, is it Dorman? He was able to get his hands dirty, and he got people to talk. That's the whole key to this, getting somebody to talk. Now, the next part is you need to somehow corroborate it because one bitter person or somebody who's trying to save their own hide from something else or whatever, you have to be able to somehow judge why they're talking. See the tangled web this is?
But according to Oberman, everybody's doing it, so it's no big deal.
No. Yeah.
Well, and he's not the only one to say that, though. I mean, as we played in the clip earlier, I mean, they've been talking about this a lot, well, we kind of all knew this was going on. You know what? You and I joked about this after the show yesterday. It reminds me of Blue Chips.
Sure.
It reminds me of that Nolte movie about a basketball team that was basically put together by illegal recruiting tactics.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I remember Mitch Albom telling the story of Chris Webber in the 30 for 30. They went by some sporting goods store in Ann Arbor. And his number 4 jersey's hanging there. And like he said, they're selling my number for $75. And, you know, I don't get any of that. Blah, blah, blah. He's made tens of millions of dollars in the NBA. I really don't want to hear about his issue about his $75 jersey. You know? I don't feel badly for him. Okay? If he had not gone to a college, if he had not gone to a college, I don't care whether it was Michigan, Texas, whatever, okay? College got him into a good dorm, got him to play basketball at a high level, got him to play basketball on national TV, got him free meals, got him free training, got him free coaching, got him, you know, if he wanted to, you know, a degree, which, you know, I don't think he has his degree. Others have gone back to get their degree among the Fab Five. I'm not sure Weber has his. But, I mean, they've afforded all these opportunities in here. And he's whining, moaning, and complaining about his $75 jersey in the window. Like, you know, they're profiting off of me. Hey, guess what? You profited off of Michigan. Okay?
Every day you get a paycheck.
Right? And you profited off of going to Michigan. You went there. You showcased your skills. Right? You took the coaching you were given to help make you better. I mean, let's not pretend he did it all by himself. He didn't do it all by himself. Nobody does anything in life all by themselves. Nobody does. Okay? We talk about self-made people. Yeah, we have self-made people, but everybody gets help along the way. Everybody does. Okay? LeBron James got help along the way. Okay, whether it was from his mother, his grandmother, okay, a friend here and there, a coach who taught him how to do certain things. Did he have natural ability to do things you can't teach? No, but but who taught him, okay, this is actually the right decision to make on this play instead of that one? Okay? Who taught him when you post up, you've got to start here? You just don't walk in there and go, and you just know everything and you're done. Nobody does. It may seem natural and easy to some people as they do a job, but everybody, if anybody's worth their salt, they'll tell you the names of the people that helped them get someplace. People tell me that, you know, they'll say to me, well, you know, the way you do the game, you know, it just sounds so easy for you. Okay? You want a list of people who helped me along the way, that gave me a little hint here, there, opened the door for me here and there to allow me to get someplace? It's a long list. A long list. I mean, everything, you know, you were there when I gave the speech at the dedication thing. I mean, it was all thank you to boom, 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 boom. And I tried to include as many people as possible. Because you don't stand there unless you have this list of people. I mean, nobody gives a Hall of Fame speech like Jordan where it's really, you know, him and then like everybody else was, you know. You know, nobody does that except for him. It's the worst speech I ever heard in my life. Yeah, you know, so, you know, Weber's lamenting, hey, you know, using your jersey. Well, guess what? You use Michigan too, man. If you wanted to get your degree, you could have gotten your degree. But they helped make you they took you from a raw, highly talented basketball player and helped refine your skills in decision-making, except when it came to calling timeouts. All right, we'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Here's one of the big issues that we have right now. One of the big issues we have in college sports right now is the all-out professional pursuit of winning. Take, for example, what happened at Texas. All right? After one game, Manny Diaz is fired? Really? Right now they're talking about Mack Brown's job at Texas being on the line. They're talking about Lane Kiffin's job being on the line at USC. Now, these guys are highly paid. You're talking about millions of dollars per year for these guys. So I understand that. Is winning important? Yes, winning is important. But there's a real hypocrisy going on out there right now where you glorify everything. You say, awesome, incredible, great. And oh. Then the pressure to win gets ratcheted up exponentially. People go to stadiums, of course, for the fun, the frivolity, the tailgating, the camaraderie, and so forth. But at the end of the day, winning and losing happens. And people take winning and losing very, very seriously. Recruiting, very, very seriously. It's now a cottage culture. It's you know, you're rating guys 1 through 1,200, and you're, you know, who got what class and so forth. I mean, do you sit there and become, as a media, appalled by what you're seeing while reporting all these other things that go with it? Quarterback battle going on, recruiting, it's a top five class, it's a top 10 class, it's, you know, they got the 17th rated tight end, that's great for them. Now, all these things should be talked about and should be covered. But there's a great pressure that's put on at the same time. You have a 108,000-seat stadium. You want to fill the darn thing. In the end, I mean, why are people at the parking lot to begin with on a Saturday? Because they're there to see if your team wins or loses. All the other stuff comes with it. And in the parking lot, what determines the mood after the game, whether they won or lost? Although sometimes you win. See, one of the things that's bothering me right now is that sometimes people are winning and people are complaining. the winning isn't good enough anymore in some areas. You won, but... You won, but what? You won. There's no satisfaction with that, with just winning. It has to be done in a certain way. That's a problem, I think. I think it's a huge problem that just winning the game is not good enough.